you for listening to this message from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries in Gunnison, Colorado. We hope you will visit us at rmcmchurch.org, like our Facebook page, or subscribe to our messages on YouTube.
You can open your Bibles again to Psalm 100. We are going back to our series that we left off last week and talked about some other things on Easter, but we're going to go back to this series on worship, a call to worship that we as believers are called to be worshipers. It's who we are. It's not just something we do. And this whole element of our lives of worship, I mean, first of all, worship really is a complete giving of our entire being over to the Lord. It is a heart attitude. It's a posture. It is a posture of dedication of all that we are and all that we have to the Lord. And but this aspect of giving thanks, voicing our thanks, voicing our praise, voicing sometimes or in other ways demonstrating our worship for the Lord, it is the heart and soul of who we are as believers. This is not, you know, man, in this culture we get into very pick and choose, you know. We think worship is a music genre, you know. It's not. It's a hard attitude. There is a music genre called worship music or praise and worship music. Okay, fine. But that's not what worship is about. Whether the songs are my favorite style of music or not is not what this is about. Worship is a place of deep interaction. Actually, I could just sit down. If you were here at the beginning of the service, Karen preached my whole message before we started into worship. And actually, if that First Chronicles 16, you got to give me that one because that goes right with this. So, but anyway. So we've been looking into this because it's such a, the action of giving thanks and praise to the Lord leads us into these deep connected moments of worship. And in that place, as she said before service, we get cleaned up, we get the baggage taken off, we get revelation. It's just such a central part of who we are and our Christian life, that this isn't something we can take or leave or pick and choose. When I first started going to church, I tried to make a slate because the worship time made me nervous, okay? It wasn't my style of music. It's not what we called rock and roll, okay? It was actually a big step up from what I grew up in, though, huge. But anyway, I'm just telling you, I always tell you, this is what was in my heart, you know? So she didn't always let us be late for church because she actually knew what worship was and enjoyed it. But so I understand that we grow in these things, but we got to embrace the fact that this process of giving thanks, of giving praise, it is a process God gave us to change our focus and our hearts and draw us to a place of deep connection with the Lord. So if you want to be and have times of deep connection with the Lord, we've got to apply the things that we've been talking about. Okay? So, and the Bible presents this continuum that we find in Psalm 100, but we see it acted out all through the scripture of drawing near the presence of God through this process of us literally expressing our thanks, expressing our praise, and becoming so aware of his presence that we can do nothing but worship. We see that, and the Psalm 100 and other places we see this, they're talking about temple worship, which was a picture of what we have now. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is always in us. We are always in the presence of God, but we are not always aware of the presence of God. We are not always experiencing what we call the manifested presence of God. because our minds are doing 50 other things, our emotions are drawing us different ways, we have all these distractions, we have all this stuff, this process is a practical process that will lead you to quiet your heart, it'll quiet your mind, it'll get your focus on the Lord so you can hear what he is saying to you or receive what he is saying or get his instruction or just be there and be changed in his presence. But this is a very extremely practical process. And again, it's these three kind of consecutive heart postures of thanksgiving, which leads us into praise, which leads us into worship, which is a place of transformation. Does that make sense to you? Okay. The Lord, throughout the scripture, we are given, there is a call on us to worship both two different ways, individually. We need to have individual times of thanksgiving, praise, and worship in our own private time. We need those times. But there is also a call to corporate worship, and it's different. It's the same but different, as my friend Henry Garza loved to say. It's the same but different. It is the same. We enter in the same way. It's the same God, but don't ask me why he does things in the corporate setting that he doesn't do in our individual time. There is more. There's a multiplied flow of his presence and anointing in the corporate gathering. And we need to come expecting that. We need to come knowing. And again, this is where I started out. I had my individual time with God. I had had no good experience in a church. So I was totally opposed to church. I thought church was just a drag, was just dead, was just empty, because I'd never experienced being in a living, active, spirit-filled church where God was showing up and doing stuff. I'd never had that. So until he got it through my thick head, and it didn't take too long, that in the scope of eternity, that would get to the point where I realized and cherished what he did there, then I started to experience so much more. And it's just important for us to know that and to realize these are two settings for worship, and they're given to us throughout the scripture. So let's go over there. For I already run out of time. Over in Psalm 100, again, let's just read these verses again, beginning in verse 1. And it says, make a joyful noise to the Lord. This is the Amplified. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. So all that is coming to God with an expectation of good thanks. We're singing. We've got gladness. We're excited. All right. This is such an important piece. Know, perceive, recognize, and understand with approval that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, not we ourselves, and we are his. So when we're coming anytime, whether it's your personal time, whether it's when you're coming to a church gathering, whatever it is, you're coming in to meet with God, this is what's on our mind. Lord, you are God. I am not. All right? So I'm exercising humility. I am laying down my right to autonomy. I am saying, you are God. I am not. You made me. I didn't make you. I belong to you. I am one of your people. Okay? I didn't make you. The God I'm coming to worship is who he is, apart from anything I think about him, apart from anything I would want to impose on his nature of who he is. And I'm saying this to you today because there are loads of people, and I think it's strong in Western culture, that are trying to worship a God of their own making. They're worshiping a Jesus that they made up, not the one that we find in the Bible. Okay? And that Jesus is nothing more than a social justice warrior. That Jesus is, and Jesus is in favor of social justice, by the way. Just not necessarily the way we interpret it, but he's nothing more than that. He approves of everything we do, every thought we have, every action we take, because he loves us so much. that Jesus is just Jesus, that Jesus would never confront anybody. That Jesus would never say, well, if you want to be my follower, guess what? You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. That Jesus that is being worshiped regularly in our society would never say that. He'd never then turn to the disciples that didn't leave and say, do you want to leave too? He would never call somebody a viper, a brood of vipers. You guys are a brood of vipers. He would never confront us about anything. He would never say to somebody, go and leave your life of sin. He'd never do any of those things, okay? That's not the real Jesus. So one of the things we're doing as we come, as we are straightening out in our head again, Lord, I'm here to know you better. I need revelation every day of my life, and I will. Every day of my life, till I'm face to face with you, there's more of you for me to know. And I want to know you, and I'm willing to accept who you are. I am choosing to adapt myself to you. I am not expecting you to adapt yourself and become like me. He became like us in the fact that he took on flesh and died for us. That's as far as that goes. His nature, remember we talked about it last week, his nature never changed, and it's not going to, okay? So this is just a huge piece of this, and then it starts to talk to us about enter his gates with thanksgiving. Again, it's a picture of the temple, the first place, the most distant place as we're coming into this awareness of God's presence, or in those days, into the presence of God. The first thing is we do it with thanksgiving. We've talked about that. We gratitude lives in our hearts, and we start to, out of our own mouths, express thanks. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering, and into his courts with praise. Courts is a little farther in. Thanksgiving leads to praise. Okay, and praise is what I want to talk to you about today. Be thankful and say so. Okay, this is vocal. This is something we're actually doing. This is not just an idea we hold in our head. Yes, I'm thankful. I have gratitude. Well, when I'm coming toward you, Lord, and I'm wanting to experience you, and I'm wanting to shut out all this junk, one of the things I'm going to do, and Karen read this out of 1 Chronicles. That was so good. Chapter 16 someplace. It talked about remembrance, and that's what we talked about. We've got to remember who he is. We are purposely calling to mind who he is, and then we're expressing it. We're saying so. We're thanking him for his nature. We're thanking him for his works. We're thanking him for his faithfulness, what he's done, his mercy, his goodness, his grace, all of that, everything that the Holy Spirit will help you. He'll just begin to pour out thanks to God. And so it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and a thank offering, into his courts with praise. Be thankful and say so. Bless and affectionately praise his name. We're going to release our affection. We're going to release our adoration. We're going to tell him how much we love him. None of that is to change him. None of that is to get his attention, because he's not paying any attention to you. None of that is to kind of, you know, manipulate God into paying some attention to you. All of that is to change us. He doesn't change. He doesn't need to change. And none of that is to buy his approval. None of that is to just gain favor. Jesus did that. You got to get that. Jesus already did everything that will ever be done to bring us into favor and acceptance with God. It's through his blood and his blood alone. And it is 100%, okay? So all of this is, we are doing these things to change us. We are doing these things to focus us, to open our hearts to what he would do during this time. And it tells us why we're doing it. For the Lord is good. His mercy and loving kindness are everlasting. His faithfulness and truth endure to all generations. This whole thing we're talking about, that we can, you know, we use this terminology, enter into the presence of God. And I know I've said this 15 times. I'm going to say it again. God is with you all the time. God lives in you. If you're a believer, if you've given your life to Jesus, the Holy Spirit moved in. He didn't just come in and keep everything in his boxes, you know, and he's ready to move out any second. He dwells permanently in you. We're not saying God is distant, God's far away, it's an awareness issue. It's making us aware and sensitive to his presence. But the fact that we can come this easily into the presence of Almighty God, that generations and generations and generations of people did not have that privilege, and we do. And we should consider it. Just that's something to be thankful for. That's something to be grateful for. Under the old covenant, nobody except the high priest could come into the Holy of Holies, where the ark was, where the presence of God dwelt in the temple. They couldn't go in there. Big curtain got torn apart, right, from top to bottom when Jesus was raised from the dead, when Jesus died, actually. Nobody could go in there except one person, the high priest, and he could only do it once a year, and he had to be carrying sacrificial blood to pour out on the mercy seat. They literally tied a rope around the guy's ankle when he went in there, because if he didn't do everything right, he died in the presence of God, and they would pull him back out. Can you imagine being the next guy? But anyway, that's what they did, because the presence of God is holy, and there was no provision for sin at that time. So this was the process. In the New Testament, we are actually invited to come into the very presence of God. Let's look at it real quick. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. Let us then fearlessly and confidently and boldly draw near to the throne of grace. Wow. The throne of God's unmerited favor to us sinners, that we may receive mercy for our failures and grace to help in good time for every need. Appropriate help, well-timed help, coming just when we needed. We are invited to have this face-to-face experience with God. And as we come to that place, you know, so we call it coming into his presence. It's really just becoming aware of his presence and his beauty and his holiness and his grace and his love. We will respond to that. When that's a reality, we will respond with what we call worship. Okay, there's no, we may be on our face, we may still be extolling him, but worship will be the result in that place. Okay? Are you getting this? All right, so I'm not going to go through this. We went through it last time. I just want to remind you the first part. There's one thing I do want to stand on again. The first part of this is learning how to develop gratitude in our heart, and the way we develop gratitude in our heart is through remembering who he is and what he's done on purpose. Circulate it in your brain, okay? Think about it. Say it out loud. Think about who he is. Think about what he's done. Think about what he's done for others. Think about what he's done in the Word. Think about what he's done for you. Think about who he is. Think about that we get to come into his presence. And millions of people didn't have that privilege, okay? So we looked at Psalm 103, and we don't have to go through all of that again, but this is a place that tells us to remember. It says, praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Forget not all his benefits. That literally means don't let all the blessing, all the benefit of our covenant with him, don't let it be lost from memory. And the other part of that word is don't let a period of time soften the memory. To where, yeah, I can kind of remember that. But no, we are remembering. We are calling things to mind about who he is. And we are letting that change our hearts. We are letting that push aside fear. We are letting that push aside unbelief. We are letting that work in us as we give thanks to him. We're letting it work. It's preparing our hearts to believe. It is preparing our hearts to engage with him. Okay? Does that make sense? So this is so important. And I just want to remind you again, we talked about this some 2 weeks ago. This is such an important thing. David here, we use the phrase, he is commanding his soul. He is telling his mind, his emotions, and his will to praise the Lord. He is telling, you know, because our minds want to wander, our emotions want to lead. This is what the Lord was saying to me the other day, and I'll just put it out there today. This is the way he framed it. You and I can be free from the tyranny of a thought life that is just constantly involved in fear, in agitation, in what might happen, what might not work, doubt, unbelief, whatever it is. We can be free from, we all lay awake sometimes and have those thoughts going. We can be free from that. And you can be free from emotions that rule your life and cause you to do things that are contrary to what you really want to do. And a lot of us grew up with just the emotions in charge. You know, again, there's a big message out there that you've got, if you're going to be genuine, you've got to let your emotions rule. That's not what the Bible teaches. And so he's saying, don't forget the stuff. And he's commanding his soul. And we're going to see this again in the next verses we look at. He says a lot of I wills. I will praise the Lord. Soul, you will praise the Lord. Sometimes when you come into church or in your private time, you got to command your soul. You've got to tell it. Your spirit is in charge. Okay? You've got to tell your thought life what to do. You've got to tell your emotions what to do. Sometimes you have to tell your emotions where to go. Okay, we'll just say it that way. Leave it at that. All right. This is what the Bible calls a sacrifice of praise. It is a sacrifice because I don't feel like it, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's a sacrifice of thanksgiving, and it'll produce so much fruit in your life. All right, we've got a few minutes left. Let's talk about praise. All right, so we come through thanksgiving. We enter his courts with thanksgiving. We're drawing nearer to God. We're getting our focus on him, and we enter into praise. All right, so Psalm 100 verse 4 told us that enter his courts, which is a little farther in, with praise. All right, there is a natural, are you listening to me? Okay, there's a natural spiritual, can hyphenate that, natural spiritual progression from thanksgiving to praise. If our heart, if the dominant characteristic in our heart is gratitude toward God, we're going to praise him. But what we need to understand is praise is vocal, or praise is outward. I think I have a definition here. Yeah, you'll love this. Praise is the joyous, exuberant, vocal, demonstrative declaration of God's glory, power, character, and works, along with our affection for him. I'll say it again because you guys love that. Praise is the joyous, exuberant, vocal, demonstrative declaration of God's glory, power, character, and works, along with our affection for him. And so the thing is, for all the introverts in the room, it's like, oh man, I see, and I'm supposed to do this with other people around? Uh-huh. That's where we start commanding our soul, okay? That's where we start telling ourselves, yeah. And that's where we start in a group, in corporate worship. Forget about everybody else. Nobody, we think, oh, if I lift my hands, people are going to think. You really think all those people are thinking about you? They're not, okay? They're not. And besides, when you take that step, and because in the Bible, we see praise exhibited with singing, shouting, clapping, dancing, waving banners, blowing trumpets, banging on cymbals, playing music, all these things, they're all loud and they are all outward and they are all vocal. Praise is not, I'm praising God. That's not praise, okay? And I don't understand this either. I'm just telling you it's the way it is. When we open that physical valve, might be going from this to this to this to this, okay? It might be any number of things, but you feel it on the inside. I need to let this out. I don't want to let it out. I need to let it out. When you begin to release that, there's a huge flow behind it that will cleanse, it will refresh, it'll strengthen, it'll bring revelation. It's supernatural. I can't explain why it works this way, but it does. And if our heart's full of gratitude, we're going to thank him. We're going to be thankful and say so. But then we're going, as we stay in that, we're just going to begin to move into praise. And a lot of it in the scripture, I mean, music is a God thing. That's why bad music is a really bad thing, because it'll stick with you. I have, you know, we have always sought out music for this church that either is the word, like we sang Psalm 1 this morning, we just sang it. We're just meditating the word, essentially, to music. And other ones, other songs, they all have to clearly and accurately be from the word of God. They need to present truth. And we don't do ones that are just kind of emotion and no truth, okay? Or emotion and really bad doctrine. There's a lot of that out there. But anyway, those get stuck in your head. They do. And honestly, some of the songs we do, they're not my favorite songs, and they get stuck in my head. But the reason I've learned to love them is because the truth they're carrying, I want to think about over. That's what meditating the word is. I want that running through my head. And I don't want a bunch of garbage from the world. I don't want to be hearing, you know, how my pickup truck broke down and my wife left me and my dog died. You know, I don't want that running through my head all the time. I want the word of God running through my head. And so, you know, music is a huge part of that. But praise is always seen or heard or both. It's outward. It's just the way it is. It's never silent. Worship can be real silent. Praise can't. Let's look at a couple scriptures. Are you still with me? Okay, Psalm 146. You can turn there if you'd like. I don't have any of them up on your screen. We're just going to look at them. This is actually from the New Living Translation. 146:1, it says, "Praise the Lord. Let all that I am praise the Lord. I will," look at all the I wills in these statements, "I will praise the Lord as long as I live." It actually literally means until my with my dying breath, I will praise the Lord. Okay, "I will sing praises." I will sing praises to my God. I can't sing. Neither can I. I don't care. Just sing. Just try it. Try it. You'll like it. Okay. "I will sing praises to my God with my dying breath." Oh, good. Brought it out. Okay. "Let all that I am praise the Lord." Well, what am I? Okay, what am I? I am spirit. My spirit has no trouble praising the Lord because the Holy Spirit lives in there. Okay. I am soul, mind, emotions, and will. Sometimes those have trouble praising the Lord. I have to command them. I have to take authority and begin to praise the Lord. It's a decision. Okay, it starts as a decision. It becomes a flow. All right, I'm spirit, I'm soul, I'm body. I have a body that is to express. So I have lungs, I have vocal cords, I have a tongue, I have hands, I have feet that just don't dance. They have once or twice, but boy, it's got to be a hard move of the spirit to get me to dance. That's my spot. I'm spirit, soul, and body. He's saying, let all that I am praise the Lord. Okay? When you decide to overcome, and I'm right there. When you decide to overcome your self-conscious nature, aka pride, okay? When you decide, I don't care. I don't care what people think. I don't care if they hear my lousy singing. God, I care about you. When you do that, you do whatever, you lift your hands, you raise your voice, you do whatever, you begin to flow, you're going to release so much out of your spirit. God's just going to begin to flow through you. I really encourage you, just take it in steps. I know we grow in this. Maybe you're already there, maybe you're not. But, you know, a lot of people, they look at things like this. They do what Boyd was talking about. They pull, oh, I think those charismatic people, they're just out there for the show. That's just all emotion. It's just that. It's just, they're just doing all that to impress other people. Okay, don't do that. Don't do it to impress other people. Good, we took care of that problem. Now, let's do what the Bible says. Okay, is this making sense to you? Okay, we come up with all these dumb little, well, I just say, da, 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 da. Well, then don't do that. Okay, do it from your heart. Let it out. It's in there. If the Holy Spirit's in there, it's in there. Okay, you're not just trying to attract attention. You're probably trying to avoid attracting attention. 2 Samuel, we're going to go over there. How much time do I have left? 8 minutes. That's loads of time, especially with the add-on. What did I say? 2 Samuel chapter 6. I want to read this to you. You guys will know this, these verses. I'm going to start with verse 12. This is where they were bringing the ark back. Wait, I'm in the wrong place. Why does that say Psalm 101? Why am I so confused? What did I just say? 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 12. I'm just going to read two parts of this. This is where they were bringing the ark back, and they had done it wrong the first time, got some people killed, left it at somebody's house. All this blessing started flowing. People started to notice it, and they said, hey, David, you know what? That guy's just prospering like crazy because the ark's at his place. David says, okay, we'll go get it. We'll do it the way the word said, and we will bring it in. And so beginning of verse 12, it says, now David, King David was told, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and everything he has because of the ark of God, the presence of God in his house. So David went down and brought the ark. I bet Obed-Edom wasn't too happy about this. So David went down and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with rejoicing. When those who were carrying the ark of the Lord had taken 6 steps, he sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. David, wearing a linen ephod, danced before the Lord with all of his might, while he and the entire house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts and sounds of trumpets. As the ark of the Lord was entering the city of David, Michal, daughter of Saul, watched from a window, it's one of David's wives, and when she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she despised him in her heart. Now jump down to verse 21. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord. I got to start a little earlier than that. Anyway, she criticized him about it. When David returned home, this is verse 20, to bless his household, Michal, daughter of Saul, came out to meet him and said, how the king of Israel has distinguished himself today, disrobing in the sight of the slave girls of his servants as any vulgar fellow would. David said to Michal, it was before the Lord who chose me rather than your father or anyone from his house when he appointed me ruler over the Lord's people Israel. I will celebrate before the Lord. I will become even more undignified than this, and I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I'll be held in honor. Michal was thinking about what people were going to think. What are people going to think of David, the king? And what are they going to think of me? She doesn't say that, but that's where that goes. What are they going to think of me when my husband's out there acting like this, dancing in just a linen ephod, which was, you know, like a priest's garment, not the king's garment, before the Lord? He's out there in the streets dancing and people are seeing him. She was embarrassed. She was disgusted. And she let him know that. And he said, you know what? I was dancing before the Lord and I'll become even more undignified than this to praise God. She was thinking about the opinions of people. He was only thinking about the opinion of the Lord. And that's where we need to be. It's where we need to be. When we're gathered for worship, that's where our heart needs to be. God, what do you want? And if you don't feel like, boy, this is a tough one. How do I say this? I'm not talking about just emotions. I'm just saying, I'm not encouraging you to just make a show, do things, you know, just because you want other people to think that you're praising God either. I'm not going to that end. I'm just saying a lot of times we have to overcome the flesh and overcome our own insecurity and go ahead and lift our hands or whatever it might be to worship the Lord. Get down on your knees, whatever it might be. Do what the Spirit of God is prompting you to do. Okay, does that make sense? All right, Psalm 145, verses 1 and 2. Once again, I just want you to get this. I will extol you, my God, O King. I will bless your name forever and ever with grateful and affectionate praise. Every day, here's the heart of it, every day with its new reasons will I bless you affectionately and gratefully praise you. Yes, I will praise your name forever and ever. I just want you to get all of the I wills, all of the I wills. I will do this. I'm making the choice. I will be a person of praise. I will be a person of thanksgiving. Okay. One more, Psalm 145, verses 4 and 5. This is very important. It says, one generation shall laud your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts on the glorious splendor of your majesty and your wondrous works. I will meditate. A home, this is talking about, as I worship God, I praise God, I'm open about that, my kids are seeing a real demonstration of praising God, okay? A home that is filled with people who praise and worship God and open their Bibles and repent when they're wrong and all that's just natural, that'll get passed along to the next generation. If the only place they see you doing that is at church, that's not going to cut it. I had a friend on Facebook recently that just posted, and it was a good post, but it was about parents, take your kids to church. And, you know, they need to be in that environment. They need to see people worshiping. They need to see people opening their Bibles. And I wrote back and I said, man, I agree 150% with that. But as a pastor, I can tell you if that's not happening at home, they'll just dismiss it at church. It's just something that happens at church. Stuff needs to be real, okay? But this is part of our responsibility, is to be worshipers in a way that it gets poured out to the next generation. I don't have time to read this today, but I love these verses, Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9, especially in the Amplified. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 9 talks about taking the word of God, sharpening it, which to me means using it, and impressing it on the hearts and minds of your children. This is our responsibility. And talking about as you're going down the road, as you're in the car, as you're doing this, as you're doing that, talking about God and who he is. Okay, I just got to give you one more thing. You guys have heard this before, so I'll just give it to you today and we'll be done. We need to remember that praise on earth impacts the heavenly realm. Okay, it actually impacts the heavenly realm. And we know that, I'm not going to read through all this because I don't have time today, but Matthew 21, 12 through 16. Remember, Jesus went into Jerusalem. This is all the beginning of Passover week. He comes into Jerusalem, Palm Sunday. He goes into the temple. He overturns the tables and does all of that. So he's cleansing that temple. And then the Pharisees and the Sadducees got upset. It says, but when the chief priests and the teachers of the law saw the wonderful things he did and the children shouting in the temple area, Hosanna to the Son of David, they were indignant. They said, do you hear what these children are saying? They asked him that, I'm reading poorly today. Yes, replied Jesus, have you never read, from the lips of children and infants you have ordained praise? Okay, so that was his response to him. That's a quote from Psalm 8:2. So they're in the temple. Jesus has come in. He's cleansed the temple. People are being healed. All of this stuff's going on. And the kids are running around and Hosanna to the Son of David. He's our king. He's the Messiah. And the religious people get mad about that. And Jesus quotes Psalm 8:2. And he says, from the lips of children and infants, you have ordained praise. Psalm 8:2 actually says, out of the mouths of babes and nursing infants, you have ordained strength because of your enemies, that you may silence the enemy and the avenger. So Jesus took the word strength, which actually in the Old Testament can be translated praise, and he put those two together. And he said, yeah, the reason for this, the reason that the Father has ordained praise is because it releases strength and it silences the mouth of the enemy and the avenger. I believe with all my heart that when we gather as believers and we begin to honestly praise the Lord and worship Him, I believe that the heavenlies over this area are impacted, that there is a, I believe that demonic voices are silenced. I believe that that creates an opportunity for people who right now might be resistant to God or just not paying any attention to God to hear the word of God. And I'm not talking about coming to church and hearing the word of God, their seed in their heart, and somehow that influence in their life is silenced because believers all over the place are giving praise to God, and it creates an opportunity for people to grab something they couldn't grab before. So I think our praise, it's not just for us. Yes, it is for us, and it changes our hearts, and it leads us into this place of intimacy with God, but it also impacts the heavenly realm. And we've got to realize, so there again, at home, what are you going to do when everything's going wrong? You know the devil's attacking your home. You start to thank God and praise God out loud. You rebuke the devil, but start with thanksgiving and with praise and declaring His name. And man, stomp around your house and do it out loud. Go, or if you just can't, go in a room somewhere, but put it out there and it'll change things. It'll change you and it'll change things. Okay, so last statement, promise. This is where we're going. So what happens? We begin to give thanks. We move into praise. All of these dynamics start to work. It changes our heart. And somewhere in that flow, we become much more aware of the presence of God, the manifested presence of God. He becomes, we just, it's tangible around us. And when we get to that point, we enter into what the Bible calls worship, and all kinds of things begin to happen there. But those other elements lead us into that place of worship. And that's where in a service, a lot of times we just get quiet and people get really nervous. It's like, well, we're just, it's the presence of God is really strong and we need to just be quiet for a while. Or we need to shift to just more of a Lord, I love you kind of a place, you know, and thank God we have worship leaders that are sensitive to what the Holy Spirit's doing. But we can enter into those times and we can just soak and we can just saturate. And it's so important. It's just so important for our lives. Okay, did you get something out of this? All right, let's stand up and pray today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Lord, I just, and I've told you this ever since I've known you, but I love so much how practical your word is, that these are things, these are not just ideas, these are things we can apply. And you've always said to us, Lord, that it's not just the word we hear, but it is the word we hear and do that changes our lives. And so, Lord, I pray for all of us, whatever stage we are in all of this, that, Lord, we continue to grow in our thanksgiving to you, our praise to you, our worship of you, and what we experience in this body, in this place when we are together, what we experience at home when we're just with our family or just by ourselves. Lord, we want to experience more of you. We want those face-to-face times that are so transformative. So, Father, we give all that up to you. We thank you that the Holy Spirit is our coach and our leader and our guide, and that He takes these truths and just impresses them into our hearts and teaches us step by step how to apply these truths in our lives. And we thank you for that today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You glad you came to church or no? No? Yeah. No, just kidding. Okay. All right. Let's say this on the count of three. Hey, there's a whole bunch of good stuff out there again today. That's not what we're going to say. Let's say on the count of three, Jesus is Lord, or the Gunnison Basin in the world will be dismissed. All right. One, two, three. Jesus is Lord over the Gunnison Basin and the world. You guys go out there and be the church.
You are listening to a podcast from Rocky Mountain Christian Ministries. For more information about our church, please visit us at rmcmchurch.org.